This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutschurch.com.
I want to talk to you today about your expectations. And I think I'm going to climb out of the hole that I've dug here regarding your expectations so far in the service. But I want to talk to you about maybe even, listen, going beyond your expectations. Because here's the ironic thing for me is that my faith is connected to my expectations. Mine is. Okay, I want to say ours are, but I want you to come up with that on your own. My faith's attached to my expectations. And what I need is for my life, my outlook, my perspective to get past my expectations, beyond my expectations. And in order to do that, man, I've got to see things very, very clearly. The onslaught of the communication and the direction that we get from the world and from media, it connects with our flesh. And what's interesting is that the Bible doesn't say that we have to manage our flesh or get on top of our flesh. It says that we have to kill our flesh. We have to crucify our flesh. We have to get to the point where we realize that as believers in Jesus, as Christians, that we're alive in Christ now. We're dead to ourselves and alive to God, okay? And here's how this works. Before you gave, how many of you guys have given your life to Jesus? Can I see your hands? You've given your life to Jesus. Okay, before you did, okay, you weren't born that way. Because you were born in a Christian home doesn't make you a Christian, okay? That's how a lot of religions are around the world. That's not Christianity. Christianity, you have to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. You have to reach an age where you understand it and you get it and you make Jesus the Lord of your life and then you live for him and then you're a Christian. Okay? But before you were a Christian, your flesh was alive and your spirit was dead. Okay? This is going to be real simple. You become a Christian, your spirit comes alive. Okay? So something has to die. Does that make sense? See, in order for us to be right with God, someone had to die, and it was Jesus, who was God's son. He was the sacrificial lamb on our behalf. See, so in order for us now to live the victorious life, listen, beyond our expectations, we can't let our flesh have any play in who we are. And you'll say, well, that's impossible. How do you do that? It's not impossible. Man, the Bible talks about us bringing every thought into captivity of Christ. That's how that starts. Where we subject our thought life to Jesus. We subject our thought life to the presence of God. We subject our thought life to God's promise. But see, too many people don't do that. See, because our problems are attached to our flesh. And there's way too much identity in our problems in our lives. You know, and then if somebody doesn't give us enough attention toward our problems and we don't get enough pity or sympathy, then we suffer offense. And people do that in church all the time. Man, I am not wired for sympathy. I'm not. Or pity. I'm not at all. I'm not wired for that. And see, what we've got to understand is that sympathy attaches, it connects with our flesh. But see, that now empathy, compassion, that love, man, that connects with our spirit. And they're two different things. But people identifying with their problem, see, it's hard for them then to allow that promise of God to eclipse that problem because their identity's in the problem. The diagnosis or the debt or the divorce or the depression or whatever it is. Man, the baggage that we carry, if we identify with that, with the problem, we'll never live the promise. See, because what God wants us to be isn't just receivers of the promise. And this is going to be pivotal for you. God wants us to be inheritors of the problem. See, that he gives us, we don't just have this serendipitous kind of approach to, oh my gosh, if I just keep serving God, maybe the eyedropper of miracle will land on my head and I'll be great. No, you know what? I live a life of miracle now. That's all my life's about now is miracle. That's all it is. Because see, what we have to get past is that we're all, that the flesh and good news or bad news or whatever it is. There's too many people that are going to the doctor believing the doctor for a good report rather than receiving the report of the Lord. I know that's a mouthful. I know that that's hard for you. No, wait a second. I got a bad report, so now I'm going to believe for a good report. Why? You've already received a good report. It's a report of the Lord. See, otherwise, it's just going to be the roller coaster kind of haymaker delivering life that we live, where we're the yo-yo at the end of the string, that we're going up and down and we're doing tricks and people are applauding our tricks. But at the end of the day, it's not that entertaining. And see, it just occupies our time. It doesn't amount to anything. See, so rather than me believing a report that the market of my business is going to return around, I just want to believe the report that all my needs are met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and everything I've put my hand to prospers. That's a report I want to believe that is unconditional. Let me say unconditional. See, the unconditional report of the Lord is what I want to believe. But see, my flesh can't handle that. There's got to be strings attached. There's got to be conditions. There's got to be more than I can do. See, the amazing thing about God, again, because we could go all week talking about amazing things about God, but the amazing thing about God to me right now is he doesn't consider anything I've ever done up to this point. Not keeping score at all, not keeping track at all. Does not give a hoot about what's happened to me up to now. All he cares about is right here and right now and where I'm going. See, we're thinking God's holding back or keeping us from, because we don't deserve it or we haven't earned it yet. And can I tell you, you will never deserve it? Can I tell you that you can never earn it? You can't earn or buy your way into this. It's all God's grace. It's all God's grace. It's like, oh my gosh. But then God gives us his grace without measure. There's no limit to it. See, I want there to be limits. I want it to be somehow conditional on how good I do. God, I'm trying my hardest. God, I'm striving to be accepted. And now, but he's given me his name. He's accepted me in the beloved. God doesn't look at me and see me as a public speaker. He doesn't look at you and say, oh my gosh, you've kept the books real good. You're a pretty good CPA. Man, I'm so proud of you for being such a great athlete. I'm so proud of you for playing that guitar as well as that you played it. Oh my gosh, Daniel, the way you hit those drums, oh, it's just so amazing. I don't think God cares about any of that stuff. I think what God cares about is who we really are. See, God doesn't love us because we perform. God doesn't love us because we're like trained SEALs. God's not loving us because we fit the whatever pattern or mold or anything that's out there. No, God loves us because he has adopted us. See, at the end of the day, I didn't even pick Jesus. I think I did. It feels like I did, but I didn't. He picked me. See, so now that's the way I have to look at my life, is that he's picked me. He's appointed me and he's chosen me. Man, it's like God today picked me up out of the miry clay and put me right here on this platform. And it's like, oh my gosh. Man, and then I get up and I'll think, oh my gosh, what do I have to talk about? Because there's so many issues, there's so many needs, and people are in so many different places. It's like, no, wait a second. Christ and him crucified. That's the answer to the whole thing. The answer to all this is that we're hidden in Christ. When God looks at me, he doesn't see a public speaker. He doesn't see a 57-year-old man with, no, you know what he does? He sees his son, who he's proud of, because why? Now I'm hidden in Christ. What's Christ? Is the deity, his presence. Man, I'm hidden in God's presence now. That's how God sees me. You know the enemy can't find me? The only way that the enemy can find me is when I lift that white flag and I wave it in surrender, and then he can come and attack me. He can't find me as long as I'm hidden in Christ. All he can see is Christ. All he can see is the anointed one. All he can see is the presence of God. Man, he knows I'm in there somewhere, but he can't get to me. You know why? He can't get past God's presence. See, so now we look at it and we think about what people in the Word have expected. In John, the 4th chapter, there's a Samaritan woman that was drawing water. Jesus' disciples had gone to the village to get food, and Jesus went to get a drink, and he went to this well, and it was a well-known well, and he goes to this well, and he asked the woman, he said, woman, fetch me a drink. And she stopped. She was stunned. She's like, oh my gosh, this is a Jew. She didn't just look at him as Jesus. She looked at him as a Jew. Jews and Samaritans did not intermingle. They did not communicate, okay? They were two separate groups of people. For reasons that the Jews thought that the Samaritans were all about compromise. So here Jesus is, plus, you want to take it another level further, here was a woman asking Jesus, talking to Jesus. Jesus said to a woman who he never, she thought, wait, this isn't right. I'm a Samaritan, plus I'm a woman. Why would you ask me for a drink? Man, this is weird. She didn't have interface with Jewish people or Jewish men. So Jesus said, if you knew who asked you, if you knew the gift of God that was in front of you, and this is big for everybody in this place right now. If you knew the gift of God that was in front of you that asked for water, you would ask me for water, because I have a drink that when you drink, you will never thirst again. But see, I want to go back to that phrase in that verse where it says, if you knew the gift of God that was in front of you, if you knew the gift of God that was here today, you know, we say flowery things and syrupy things like one word from God can change your life forever. I believe that with all my heart. I believe these church services are sacred times with God. Man, people come in, you know, a few generations ago, when you ask somebody, hey, where do you go to church? Oh, I go to so-and-so church. And you say, oh my gosh, I'm regular. I'm a tenor, I'm a member of that church. You know what that meant? They went to church once a week. You know what it is now? People that say, oh yeah, I go to this church. I'm a regular attender. I'm a member of this church. Do you know what the average is? Once a month. And you'll say, oh, church attendance isn't that big a deal. No, it's the deal. It's not a big or small deal, it's the deal. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you because the onslaught of this world, if you knew the age that we're living in, the prince and the power of the air, the way the world communicates now is constant in people's lives. It's not a morning newspaper. It's not an evening newscast. It's not we break from our regular programming for this news update. Now it is 24/7, 365. It is an onslaught of reports and news and terror and shootings and opinions. And then you know what? We're wandering around, listen, drawing the church out of the promised land back into the wilderness, where we're walking around the wilderness thinking, okay, I gotta find a leader. I gotta find a helper. I don't know if I can trust this leader. I don't know if I can trust this helper. I may need to, okay, let's make our own brazen image. Let's fashion it to where it fits our who we are and what we're about. You know, there's so much of the word that's offensive. And let the dead bury the dead. Can you imagine telling somebody that story? His dad's dying, he's near death, it's his hero, it's his mentor, it's his coach, it's his teacher, all wrapped up into one. And here's the Messiah that says, let the dead bury the dead. He uses that as an example. You know why he doesn't play? See, we look at this and we want to believe God for good reports. We want to believe God for the market to change. And the world is broken. See, we're not here to change the world. We're here to reach people. We're to reach people with the love and the tenacity of God. That nothing's gonna be able to separate you from God. Man, our God's a jealous God. Our God is a just God. Man, it's so amazing that there's so many social and political agendas out there that are crying out for justice when the world's broken. And the only just, true, just is God, Jehovah. That's where we turn. And if church is a once a month thing for you, I'll be real honest, my heart aches. It really does. If it's a once in a while thing, if it doesn't really matter to anyone outside your home, whether you're there or not, it's heartbreaking. And I'm not just saying that for effect. I mean, it's really, and I know that God's shown me what God speaks to me. Man, there's things that I repeat and don't give God enough credit for things sometimes where I know that we can help people if we can get them in this room. I know that we can help people if we can get them in and we can get them to come back. Or maybe they won't be checking their updates or their Facebooks or won't be liking Instagram pictures while the word's being preached. Somehow, if their attention can be grabbed, man, we can get past their expectations, beyond people's expectations. Because now, I think so many people, even in the church, are living a life where that phrase, remember that phrase, well, what do you expect? And it's always attached to bad news. It's always attached to calamity. It's always attached to something that's funky. You say, well, you know, the deal didn't work out. I didn't get the promotion, but what do you expect? Let me tell you what you don't ever want. You don't ever want promotion from man. It's going to be fleeting. It's probably going to bring some sorrow. You want promotion from above. Man, if your promotion comes from above, and that the Bible refers to it as true promotion, just promotion, if it comes from above, I'm telling you, there's no sorrow in it. And see, where we have to go is we have to be in a place now in our lives where, just like the woman with the issue of blood, she ran out. If I could but touch the hem of his garment, Jesus got her beyond her expectations. What about blind Bartimaeus? Son of David, have mercy on me. Man, Jesus said, let him come to me, as the ushers and the disciples were trying to keep him away and quiet him down. He said, no, let him come to me. Here's blind Bartimaeus. He's standing, his fingernails, his clothing, his feet, his face, his hair, his beard just had to be a mess. He'd been blind since birth. And he's standing before Jesus, and here's the words that he heard. What can I do for you? Oh my gosh, it's overwhelming. That's not what I expected. I don't expect that from you. I don't expect that from anybody. What do I do for you? He could have said, oh my gosh, my sinuses have been driving me crazy. I've got poison ivy. Man, can someone just wash my hair and brush it? Can I just experience a little bit of quality? No. You know what he said? That I might see. Man, Jesus saw where his identity was. Jesus saw what the need was in his life. He fought his way through the crowd that got to Jesus, and he couldn't see because he was blind. Jesus said, what can I do for you? He said, that I might see. He spit on the ground. He made mud. He packed in the guy's eyes. He said, now go to the fountain and wash it out. He came to Jesus. He couldn't see because he was blind. He left Jesus. He couldn't see. Listen, because he had mud in his eyes. That wasn't what he expected. He didn't expect somebody to pack mud in his eyes. But you know what Jesus did? In one miraculous stroke, he changed his identity. He put the promise ahead of the problem. Man, the crippled man, they brought him to Jesus, four men, and they lay him before Jesus. And you know what? Jesus didn't even recognize them. You know what he said? He looked those four men and he said, because of your faith, he's made whole. Those guys had to stand there. Tell me it's not a big deal bringing people. Tell me it's not a big deal that whether you're here or not. Let me tell you, those four men, it's a big dadgum deal. He turned to those guys, he said, it's your faith, fellas. Man, the greatest coach who ever lived was right there. That was a coaching moment. Because of you, because you're here, because you're in the right place, this man's sin's forgiven. The guy's laying there. He's paralyzed. This crippled guy's laying on this mat. And he's looking up at Jesus and he's thinking, oh my gosh. Man, he had to know. He had to sense the presence of God. He knew that there was something different here. And Jesus said, your sins be forgiven you. The guy's going, okay. It's not what I expected. This is beyond my expectations. I don't know if you'd ask me for 100 things, if that would be in the top 100 today. But you know why Jesus said it? Because of the scribes that were there. Those Pharisees that were there, those religious people that were there, they didn't want to leave them out. Man, you know what he told them? He recognized the faith in those four men. You know what I would be if I were those four guys? I would have found every paralytic that I could find. I could find every cripple, every sick person I could, every old person I could, and I would carry them to wherever Jesus was teaching. That's what I'd have done with my life. Just that one word, that one moment with Jesus changed their lives forever. Because of your faith, he's made whole. And while he still laid there, Jesus looked at the scribes, considering what they were thinking. They didn't have to say anything to him. He said, hey, I know what you're thinking. Who do I think I am that I can forgive sin? What, do you think there's some deity in you that you can forgive sin? Jesus said, so let me ask you a question. Let's turn this around. He changed their expectations. He went past their expectation. He had nothing to prove. You know what he said? Which is easier for me to say, your sins are forgiven, or pick up your bed and walk? Those scribes had to think, what's he talking about? Why would he say that? That doesn't make any sense. I just think it's wrong for him to say your sins are forgiven. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. You pick up your bed and walk. And the guy stood up and rolled up his bed and walked off. Jesus got beyond everybody's expectations there in that moment. See, And 1 Corinthians, Paul says that it's written, eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man. What the miraculous and marvelous things that God has for those that God's prepared for those who love him. In verse 10, it says, but God has revealed them to us, listen, through his spirit. Remember when I talked about your flesh? Your flesh that wants to go out and party. Your flesh that wants to sleep around. Your flesh that wants to get outside your marriage. Your flesh that wants to take the easy way in your business. Your flesh that doesn't want to get in the word every day. Your flesh that doesn't want to spend time in prayer and spend time with God. Your flesh that the average millennial, the average person that was born in the 80s and 90s spent 18 hours a day on social media. 18 hours a day. That you tell me that this is, and once coming to church once a month makes them a regular attender and a member. I'm telling you, the scales don't match for me. And you know what? A lot of those guys, you'll think, what, are they only sleeping 6 hours? No, they might even sleep more. They're doing multiple things, two or three things at a time. Oh my gosh. And I think, oh, that I could do that. Man, if I would get a text right now, I'd have to say, oh, whoop, hang on. Can you guys hang on 1 second? And I would read the text. No, there's people in here. You guys are writing novels with your thumbs right now as you're looking and nodding at what I'm saying. But see, we've got to look at this. We've got to understand that it's by the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. See, now I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I can never get to that place. For what man knows the things of man except for the Spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. And you're thinking, that's right, I don't know. Look at the next verse. Now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God. And notice one's in lowercase, the other's in uppercase, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. We don't have to be on the outside looking in. Our expectations don't have to be within our natural reach. Are you guys, please hear me today. And we go to, man, later on in the chapter, I think the 16th verse and the last part of the verse just says, but we have the mind of Christ. Man, we look at this in Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. You know, exceedingly abundantly above all is one Greek word. It's where we get the term mega, like a mega star, a mega lottery. Mega lottery. Hey, you won the mega lottery. Game changer. I'd rather have this verse. Now to him who's able to do mega above all that we could ask or think, according to the power, here's the key that works in us. Not just the power in the word, in the Bible, not just the power in the church. See, I'll tell you what the agenda of this place is to get you in here, get the word in you so that you can access the power that comes from that word on the inside of you. That's it. That's our agenda. That's the game plan. Exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. You can't imagine what God has for you. Let's get people in that you can't imagine place. Doesn't matter what you have, what's happened in your life up to now. God does not care one bit about all your failures, about all your mistakes. All God cares about is right here. Some of you guys go, how do you know what God thinks? I know what God thinks. He let us know in his word. I know the thoughts, the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Good, not evil. Now listen to this. To give you a future and hope. See, what the world's looking for from this group of people is hope-filled interaction, life, filled with hope. I'm so hopeful. But it's going to require more than once a month, I'm just telling you. Well, I don't like being around people. Yeah, that's your flesh. Yeah, but they might ask me to serve somewhere. That's your flesh. See, your flesh is alive, your spirit's dead. Jesus comes over to your life. Your spirit comes alive, your flesh has to die. You're like, but. Sandy and Brooklyn and Kennedy are in Philadelphia. Taylor's out doing whatever the heck he wants to do. I had a piece of pie for dinner last night. I think I went to bed like at 8 o'clock. I woke up this morning and I thought, I don't know that I had dinner. Oh yeah, I did. I had a piece of pie. I don't want to live my life, listen, wondering what happened, wondering what I'm eating, not having any kind of insight. I don't want to live by the flesh. I want to live by the Spirit. I want to be around people that aren't just hoping a doctor's report will change. They're grabbing and living the report of the Lord. You with me on that? God, we love you and we praise you. God, thank you for this time. God, I thank you for those little dancers up here. God, I thank you for every person, God, working in the nurseries, in the kids' church. God, everybody that cleans this place and sets it up, all our music people. God, the hundreds of lives that are laid down so that we can simply do this. That's how important it is. That's how much value there is, God. God, thank you for getting people in this room. Now, God, I ask you to engage all of us to be those people that carry people to the presence of Jesus. God, that's all we want to do. God, for your presence in this place, that we become hidden in your presence. God, I pray for people in here today whose lives aren't right with you. If you're here and your life's not right with God for whatever reason, I just want you to slip your hand up and slip it down quickly and quietly and just say, Pastor, I want to get my life right with God today. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Just raise your hand. Just let me see it. Anybody else? God bless you. Just raise your hand and say, I want to get my life right with God today. Just raise your hand. God bless you. Anybody else? People praying all around you. Is there anybody else? Just raise your hand. I just want to give my life to God today. Can everybody in the room just make a profession of faith with me? Father God, I want to thank you here for my life. It's a great life, God. God, I know in part and I preach in part, but I want all of you that I can get. God, help me. Help my unbelief. God, I thank you now that my life of doubt is over. I live my life for you, God, because Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. I trust you, God, and I trust your report. I believe the report of the Lord, that all my needs met, according to your riches and glory, in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for health. I come against a spirit of infirmity from anybody in this room, in my home, in my family, in Jesus' name. God, I thank you now for great life, serving you, trusting you, peace, love, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, that my flesh is crucified, that my spirit is alive unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Guts Church podcast. For more information on service times, please visit gutschurch.com.